Welcome to today's podcast, Design for Life. This is the 19th in the series titled, What Kind of Savior Do We Serve? Life wasn't created at a whim, nor should it be lived that way. This podcast is taken from the Sunday message. It is designed to strengthen the believer's walk and those who have not come to faith to recognize God has designed life to be lived with purpose. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. Here is Pastor Jim with this week's message from the book of Luke, the seven deadly sins.
Well, if you have your Bible, why don't you take out the Bible, turn to the Gospel of Luke, New Testament Gospel of Luke, and we find ourselves at present in chapter 12 as we are working our way through Luke. David mentioned earlier that we will begin our New Testament reading this week, Monday, tomorrow, with Luke, and we'll read two chapters a day for the next couple of weeks to get kind of started in the New Testament. Then we'll go back, catch up on Matthew and Mark and some of the other books. But while we're in Luke, I thought it would be good to start there starting tomorrow. Be sure to grab a chart as you go this morning. Get your name down there. We want to keep you posted as far as our progress. Middle Ages, there lived an Italian monk by the name of Thomas Aquinas. I suspect you've heard of him. He was a premier church theologian, but also philosopher, Thomas Aquinas. And he proposed what, from his perspective, looking at Scripture, were the seven deadly sins. Check yourself. In fact, they're listed in your bulletin, my outline this morning on the inside cover there, if you want to follow with me. Check yourself on the seven. No doubt all of us are tempted in every one of these areas in some form or fashion. And very possibly some have given in to that temptation. Pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, anger, or as he calls it, wrath, and then sloth. Boy, we don't use that word anymore, do we? Laziness, of all things. The seven deadly sins. Interestingly enough, Jesus picks up on sin number two in the list here in Luke 12 this morning. And I want to invite you to join me as we check ourselves in an area that is pertinent to all of us in a materialistic society, greed. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out." Boy, we caught the woes. Remember the woes last week? Warnings to the Pharisees in particular, the religious leaders. In fact, I would suggest that first sin, pride, was prevalent at the time. Jesus was dealing with it or speaking to it in Luke 11. And now he goes the next. Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Greed. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. It doesn't? I thought the one with the most toys in the end wins. What does a man's life consist of? And that's a strong theme here, as I suggested in my opening, in our society, materialism. Western materialism. We put so much effort and energy, so much of our lives into material things, as if that's where it's at, the material. A man's life, Jesus says, does not consist of things gained in store, material things. The essence of your life and my life, it's not found in tangibles. But what is it found in? I want to suggest to you that true fulfillment, if you're going to be fulfilled, filled full, in life, mark these. I think they're the big three from the book of Genesis. Way back at the creation of mankind, it occurs to me that God created man in three aspects. He was significant in his being, in terms of his identity. He was secure in his surroundings, in his environment, in terms of control. And he was satisfied with the good things that God had given him in terms of contentment. I think if you're going to live a fulfilled life, you have got to discern what is it that is significant about you. Where can you find true security or control in life? And ultimately, satisfaction, to live a fulfilled and satisfied life. Three basic human needs. And the tragedy of the fall of humanity is we lost our sense of significance and security and satisfaction due to sin. And we have fumbled and struggled since to rediscover those. Jesus says, be on your guard against greed, because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he goes on to tell a parable familiar to all of us that's called the parable of the rich fool, which forces us to ask, is there something foolish about being rich? What's the problem with wealth? I'm going to suggest at face value, God is the richest being that exists. He's the most wealthy individual ever. And he's certainly not foolish by any means. What is it about riches that makes fools out of us, or can, if we're not careful? Let's see what Jesus has to say, especially as it pertains to greed, the desire to have, to possess. And he told them this parable: the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. It was a good year, farming. We did great this year. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, storage units, per se. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. You've heard that phrase, haven't you? One of those proverbial phrases from Scripture that stays with us in society. By my retirement, those will be the golden years. How many of you know that or hope that or are questioning whether that's actually true? Eat, drink, be merry. Take life easy. That's where it's at, the good life. And God had two words to describe that man. You fool. You missed it. It's foolish to assume that. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Some Greek scholars suggest that you could actually retranslate that from the Greek. This night, these very things will demand your life from you. All the things that you have are ultimately going to kill you, are going to take your life from you. And then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? It's the parable of the rich fool. You know, possessions can be problematic at times. Have you noticed that? They can end up possessing you, in fact. The more things you possess, sometimes the more things possess you. They possess what is most valuable to you, your time, your energy, and your money. Simply in keeping things intact, maintaining them. The primary life resources are absorbed the more that you have in containing and maintaining them. The problem here, I think, is the attitude. It's the outlook that this man has towards material goods. Let me read a little section here from that paragraph. And I'm going to read it emphatically. See if you can catch the emphasis on pronouns as I read here. Are you ready? The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. Are you catching it yet, or you want me to read it a little more emphatically? And I'll say to myself, self, I have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Did you catch the emphasis there? Self, service. God says you missed the point of things. You missed the point of wealth. You missed the point of God's blessings upon your life, materially speaking. And Jesus, and in fact, this is really the zinger, concludes the parable in verse 21. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, who's self-focused, self-interested, but is not rich towards God. Anybody fit the scheme this morning? Being rich towards God. Jesus, remember, introduced this idea here earlier. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. It's not about possessing, getting, hoarding. What is it about? Jesus says, it's about riches in the spiritual realm. That's where life, true life, is found, ultimately. Spiritual wealth, as opposed to material wealth. It's focusing not on self, as we see this man doing, taking care of himself, making sure he's well taken care of. It's on focusing on God. And invariably, Jesus says, as you love God, you're going to love others. You're automatically going to transfer that to the needs and concerns that others have above yourself, above your own spiritual riches. The greatest temptation of God's people has always been idolatry. You start in the book of Genesis on, you'll find that is the greatest temptation that you and I will face on a regular basis, idolatry, to worship and serve created things rather than God the Creator, who alone is to be worshiped and glorified. In the beginning, God created man in His image. From the beginning, man has consistently recreated God in his image. And invariably, ultimately, he ends up worshiping, guess who? Himself. It's the cult to self. And that is, in fact, I think, what Jesus is hinting at here. Idolatry, in an ultimate sense. Life is ultimately not about things. We call that materialism, or I suggested that that was the focus. Those who live for material things are materialists. And worship for them is the act of buying, spending money. That's where they find fulfillment. Others find fulfillment in pleasure. Hedonism is a close second, I think, in our society, along with materialism. Hedonism, hedonists. The Greek god of pleasure. And worship, in their case, comes from playing, recreation, entertainment. There's another one that occurs to me in our society that is very intriguing and, in fact, tantalizing, and that is activism, if I could use another ism here. Materialism and hedonism. Activism. Accomplishments. Any workaholics in here? They find their fulfillment and ultimately worship through work, through working. And in every one of these cases, Jesus, I think, parenthetically tells us, "You fool, you missed the point for which God has placed you on planet Earth to begin with. It is ultimately about spiritual riches. It's about being rich in your relationship with God." And Jesus picks up in the text here, and I think he gives us what I'm going to suggest is an antidote for anxiety, angst, which is in essence produced by materialistic societies, fixation on things, and the problems that occur, whether real or imaginary. You know, somebody has estimated that 90% of the things that you worry about will never come true. Now, some of you laissez-faire out there, I know you haven't got a worry in the world. Is there one or two of you in here? For the rest of us, worry warts. Every day and every moment, it seems like there's something new to concern us, isn't there? And Jesus does us a favor here, and I want you to pay close attention as we pick up in verse 22. With an antidote that actually could help you and I, and the misplaced emphasis on worry as opposed to worship. Verse 22, then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, as a result, because of this, do not worry." It's a hand slap. Stop worrying. Cut it out. Well, we got a lot to worry about. We got all kinds of concerns and cares, don't we? And if you don't have enough yourself, I'm sure somebody sitting next to you will lend you a few. How many of you are vicarious worriers? If you don't have a crisis, then you're going to invent one, or you're going to find somebody who does so that you can worry about them. Jesus says, don't worry about your life. And he touches on what are the basic necessities of life. What you will eat. Or about your body. What you will wear. Those are essential for all of us, aren't they, on a daily basis? What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? I'd like to add a couple to the list there. I've got these listed in your outline there. What I think could also be added is shelter. Where am I going to live, especially this time of year? Transport. In this society, you really can't get around. We live in a rural area. Even if you're in an urban area, you still need to be able to transport yourself and ultimately income. I think those are the basic five needs, physical needs, tangible needs that every person possesses. The need of food and clothing and shelter, transport and income. So I'm going to amplify the list this morning and suggest that Jesus' admonition applies to the other three as well. Don't worry about it. Stop worrying about that. Don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. And so he gives us a couple of examples of that from nature. Consider the birds or the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. And who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Just the opposite. By worrying, it's very possible that you are depleting the hours of your life. Because every time I energize my mind, negatively speaking, I produce, if you can take a keto stick and you can take your saliva check, and you will find that your system is acidic. It invariably turns my system acidic. And all kinds of diseases, cancer is a good example of that, love acid. Just like weeds in the field love acid and not alkaline soil. And when I worry, I literally change the chemistry of my body within, and I make myself sick. But Jesus, in the opposite sense, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Boy, apparently Jesus doesn't know anything about your schedule, does he? And the pressures that you're under, people that you live with, the problems that you face on a regular basis. And consider the lilies, how they grow, Jesus goes on. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more? It's the second time he states that. How much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. You know, ultimately, everything in life is a test. Everything in life is a test. Every test in life, in essence, spiritually speaking, is checking one thing, just one thing. It's what the Bible calls the test of faith. Doesn't talk about the test of patience, doesn't talk about the test of love. But repetitively, the Apostle Paul refers to in the New Testament the testing of your faith. God is testing you to see one thing. Just one. Will you trust him or not under the circumstances? Jesus says, oh, you of little faith. And so do not set your heart on what you'll eat or what you will drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagans run after all these things. And your father knows that you need them. He's not denying your basic needs. No one is. Those are necessities. They're essentials to life, those five that I suggested. He said, just don't worry about them. Don't focus on them. Don't run after them. Well, what should we do? And I love this about Jesus. He tells you what not to do, and then he tells you what to do instead. So here's your marching orders. Here's my marching orders this morning. When the phone rings this afternoon, or you get up tomorrow and you're late for work, or whatever comes your way, he's going to test you. He's going to check me to see if we'll follow his instructions or not. Verse 31, but seek his kingdom. There it is. The essence of life, man's life, does not consist in the abundance of things. He says it's about being rich towards God. And in the process, taking the focus off of material things. Don't worry about, fuss over all these necessities, really. He says there's something more important in your life. Seek the kingdom. And the good news is that all these things will be given to you as well. Now, we're familiar with this verse from Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount, aren't we? In fact, we've made a song, or somebody's made a song out of it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all the hassles and hustle and things that you and I have got to do, the list that you're making and I'm making coming into the week, God says he'll see to those. If, conditioned on one thing, if you'll trust him and start out seeking his will, his kingdom, really his lordship, his rule over your life and circumstances, Jesus says the rest will follow suit. It's a great antidote, really, for anxiety if you're willing to trust him. If you'll take his word for it, seek his kingdom. And in the process, I'm going to suggest you will ultimately discover what life's all about, really. In Jesus' words, what a man's life ultimately consists of: spiritual riches, a right relationship with God, which automatically will put you in a place where you can relate rightly to others, and in fact, where your roles and responsibilities will follow suit, because as God said, I'm going to help at that point. There's a spiritual principle. His assistance kicks in. and all these other things follow as well. Finally, in this section here, Jesus challenges the temporal and the eternal. Pick up in verse 32 if you're with me there. Do not be afraid, little flock. He's talking to the 12 here, his disciples. Let's include ourselves in a little larger part of that flock. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. It's a gift that he wants you to experience, to have. Sell your possessions, give to the poor. Sell your possessions, give to the poor. Boy, that sounds like Tijuana garage sale to me. What do you think, Frank? Good advice. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, and a treasure in heaven which will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. It'll be taken care of. Everything will be taken care of for you if you'll trust him. Put him first. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's really telling, isn't it, as far as what I value and what you value. I can look at my checkbook and so can you. I can look at my calendar and so can you. And the way that you spend discretionary time and income is a pretty good indicator of what you believe is important, according to Jesus in this verse. What you treasure most. He said that's proof positive of what you believe is of most value. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I got a washing machine that needs fixing. It's leaking. We're up for doing laundry, and I'm afraid to freeze the whole back room there because it's chilly back there at the same time. And I don't know what that's going to cost. I'm going to guess $100, $150. Of course, it'll be double what you expect. It always is, isn't it? I wouldn't pay much more than that, but my wife will because she really needs that laundry done. But you know what that is, and there are so many things that absorb our resources, aren't they? Some of the necessities of life, I guess we could call them. And begrudgingly, many times we do put money into things we really would rather not spend them on, but we have to. But when you look at discretionary income, the extra, and when you look at your discretionary time, the extra, and you ask yourself, where am I putting what is most valuable to me? Really, I think time is much more valuable than money. It's a lot easier to write a check than it is to volunteer and do something tangible for somebody, isn't it? Jesus says, that's a good indicator of what you believe is important, your value system or your treasure, what you treasure, because it shows where your heart really is. Maybe that would be a good opportunity for us to go back and reconsider what I treasure and where my heart really is. Jesus said, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Let me ask you, does greed ever grab you? When's the last time that greed reached out and grabbed you? And you recognize the fact that you were being pulled into something, and it was out of self-interest, primary self-interest. Greed. What do you believe your life consists of? That's an excellent question on a test. You know, when you go to heaven, St. Peter will be there at the door, don't you? As we're told in the Bible. I don't know where it's at, but it's got to be in there somewhere. And before you enter the pearly gates, Peter's going to give a little exam to see if you got it on earth or not. Be ready for that. You better study for that test. It's of eternal importance. It sounds like my math teacher in high school. You got to study for this. This is eternal importance. And he's probably going to ask you to do something like spell the word Czechoslovakia in order to get through. Very difficult. Do you know Jesus' words there, I think, are an excellent question that we ought to challenge ourselves with. Because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Here's the question for the test. What does life consist of? for you. I suggest that in our society, materialism, as it's painted here, I think by Jesus, hedonism, activism, overly extended, we're busy and active and workaholicism. It's where many people think it's at. Not God. What does your life consist of? What is it that you believe life consists of? Let me give you one word as a suggestion for the test. See if you pass it when you get there. Relationships. It's where it's at. Remember, somebody asked Jesus, we saw it here a couple weeks ago, what's the greatest commandment? What must I do to inherit eternal life? It's rephrased in two different places in scriptures. Jesus' answer, without hesitation, love God and love your neighbor. That's it. It's everything. Relationships. That's what life consists of. And that's where you and I need to stop and pause and ask ourselves routinely, maybe on a weekly basis, how am I doing in the most important part of life? You may be doing great at work. You may be excellent in sports. You may be living it up, eating and drinking and being merry, as the rich fool suggested you could, and miss out on what is of basic ingredients. The essential of life is relationships. Relationship with God, being rich towards God, as Jesus defines it here. And invariably, as a result, you start to look at others differently and concern yourself with them and their needs. Finally, how does your lifestyle reflect your heartfelt values? Where you're seated this morning, why don't you bow your head and let's ask God to help us to sincerely answer those three questions. Have I got an issue with greed? Am I putting things before people? Am I loving things and using people, or am I using things and loving people as God would decide it? Am I living my life in a way that demonstrates wealth, spiritual wealth, riches, because of my relationship with God and because of my relationship with others? And is that obvious? Is it easily reflected in my lifestyle? Those heartfelt values. Ask Him to reveal to you the answer. Lord, we thank You for Your word this morning. And as always, it is relevant for where we live. We recognize through Jesus' teaching that this is, in fact, an easy stumbling stone for all of us. Greed. Get caught up in the material emphasis of our society and miss what is prominent, what is of greater import. Relationship with You and our relationship with others. Forgive us for that, God. Deliver us from evil. That is evil because it's idolatry. So we renounce that tendency, the temptation. And we ask that as a result, You would move us today, tomorrow, each day, to sincerely seek true riches as Jesus defines it here. Your kingdom, Your lordship. And through that, to discover what we've always wanted and longed for, a sense of significance, of security, and of satisfaction that only God could supply. We acknowledge that this morning. We offer You ourselves, and we ask You and invite You, Holy Spirit, prompt us this day and always, so that we can live our lives not like the rich fool who missed the point and he found out only too late, but that we would be wise to live our lives in a way that would honor you. And as a result, it would edify others. That's my prayer today, and I ask it always and only in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, Design for Life. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, let me encourage you to donate to this ministry. You will find a donate tab at BethelGilead.org. Until then, go out and experience the design for life as God's ambassadors commissioned to a world in need of the gospel. God bless.